This was beautifully illustrated last week through Maureen's sharing of Margaret and Minka. And you know, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And I have night after night gone to bed, aren't we? Sometimes we've had some cold days. I can even feel chilly and cold, and just love to go into that warm bed with my electric blanket and a loving husband to hug and hug to. And I thought, and Margaret and Minka. Margaret and Minka. And as I was reflecting, I thought, but revelation, and I'm enjoying that, so I'm just hoping that the Lord will give us the go-ahead to sometime do that together as a fellowship. It tells there of the wonderful reward of those who have suffered for the name of Jesus Christ. And I thought about it. How temporary are a few hours of comfort, really, and forgotten. Margaret and Minka no doubt have a reward which I could just envy. You know, they have had to die to their flesh. They are still praising the Lord in the situation they're in. We just must marvel at the grace that God is giving to you. I envy them. I really do. And that's the kind of safety the Lord wants for us. I think there's more danger of dwelling in the land of ease, in our beds of comfort, than there is in the danger of that mountainside cave where Margaret and Minka are lying and on leaves. My heart really has been deeply touched by that story, and I think of them. All right. Now, what are the benefits of wisdom? You're not going to have time to copy them. You're going to have to take time out. I don't know. I gave you some homework, and I don't know how. But just look at this. I'll just read them to you. Protection, guidance, righteousness, deliverance from the evil man and woman, dwelling in the land of promise, length of days, don't try to copy them, dear friends, you'll never get them. Long life, peace and pleasantness, favor with prosperity, good business in quotes, happiness, honor, the tree of life, grace, security and safety, balance, confidence, blessing, and inherit glory. Doesn't that overwhelm you? It really did me. And I'll leave that there for you to copy. Little notes on a couple or three of those points. First, the tree of life. One of those is the tree of life. In verse 18, one of the benefits. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Would you like to look up with me Genesis 2, 9 and 10? Let's look at that tree of life for a minute. 9 and 10. It says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden and came into four heads. I want to say that God originally planted a tree of life, and it was his purpose that we should draw on that, and I believe to have had immortal life as well as eternal life. By the tree was the river. Wherever there's a tree, there's a river. The throne of God and is the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to, it was lost, as you know, because Adam and Eve, they chose to disobey God, and they chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God intended us to have a relationship of life to him. Wants to have the mind enhanced, wants to have moral power of choosing right and wrong. God didn't want man to have to make moral choices of right and wrong, but to have a relationship of life with him. But knowing good and evil means you have to know evil, and God never intended. So this relationship then had to be forfeited. The man was put out of the garden, but God in his mercy is going to restore it in Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. River of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river was there the tree of life. Now, do we have to wait, though, until then to enjoy this restored paradise? You see, the tree of life was from him, and it's his heavenly vision yet to be consummated. But in the meantime, he has provided a way in which we can still now begin to enjoy that tree of life. And that was found when the children of Israel, in the Old Testament, we have a picture of what Jesus did about this in the New Testament. They murmured, remember, and the serpents came around, and the serpents bit them, and then God told Moses to erect a pole. That pole stands for like a tree. And on that pole, he put up a serpent. That serpent stands for Satan, the same serpent of the Garden of Eden, the same Satan who comes and bites. And the sin that they had was the sin of their own mouths. They were backbiting, and the serpent bit them. And as a result, they died. And so God decided he had to destroy the source of the curse, which was the serpent itself. He put a serpent on that pole. Look and live. And we've said that sometimes some of the people in the tents around might have said, what sense is that to look up at a pole and see a serpent there? That's no cure for a sickness like this. I'm dying of a poison snake. And so they perhaps with their mind rationalized that it made no sense. Healed. But if they looked up in obedience, they would live. And it says then, the commentary in John 3, that Jesus is that one, like as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted. 3:14 and 15, the New Testament fulfillment of that symbol that we found in Numbers 21, 4 to 9, of Moses and the children of Israel. Another little point here, the second point, that's the tree of life. The second is verses 19 and 20 in Proverbs. Lips are broken up and the clouds drop down dew. And here's a little thought too. All of the scripture is so interwoven, it's beautiful. Again, chapter 7, verse 11. 7, verse 11. What does it say here? It says, in the second part, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And here is a little commentary on Proverbs 3, where it talks about, by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down dew. Because right going on to the Genesis 9, 11, he says, I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a covenant between me and the earth. And I like that part of chapter 3 where it says, by his knowledge the depths are broken up. The Lord sometimes allows a flood that we feel that is going to overwhelm us. We're going to sink in that flood. He opens up the depths and of the fountains of deep waters. And it looks like a flood to destroy us. But, as the psalmist said, he rides on the clouds of the chariot. And he makes the wings of the wind. He flies. A cloud that is heavy with rain, the Lord intends to drop into a blessing on our lives, so that we do not despair like Noah and his people. We are in an ark in which the Lord wants to lift us above the clouds, the floods, in order that the clouds may drop down to bless us. Clouds that are heavy and dark hold rain of God's blessing. And the final thought in verse 33 of chapter 3. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. And this one little thought, it's nothing to be concerned about if we sense sometimes the curse of Satan on us. God may allow the curse of Satan on us. He did Job. He allowed Satan to curse Job. But God so intends for his protection and blessing, he showed through Job how he multiplied all that he had lost through Satan's cursings. The last chapter of Job just tells how much more God gave to Job. Let us watch that we don't have the curse of the Lord on our house, just the curse of Satan, but the blessing of the Lord. He blesses the habitation of the just. And by the just is not meaning the sinless, perfect people. It means those who are righteous in the name of Jesus Christ. That means you and that means me. I don't know about you, but that thrills me. Because if you're in a place of trouble or temptation, difficulty, trial, tragedy, testing, take heart. It may not be anything other than the curse of Satan. The blessing of the Lord is to bless his people and to protect them, that they may dwell safely. Let's just close in prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank and we do praise you so much for all the hidden truth that you have in your word, for those who are ready to walk in it, to grasp it, to receive it, and then, O Lord Jesus, to allow you to work, as it were, the milk of the word and the meat of the word, so that we might in turn be able to give milk out to others. O Lord Jesus, may we meditate on this word even this day and this week. Will you bring it to our remembrance? Will you, O Lord Jesus, interpret it for us by your Holy Spirit into life, so that we in experience know the truth of what has been talked about. Lord Jesus, you are the teacher, and we are your pupils, and we really do desire to learn wisdom in your school. And we thank you. Thank you, O Father, you have admitted us as your students. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come to Jesus Christ with first a sense of fear of him, a reverence that he is, an awe that God exists, and then an acknowledging him. But faith in God is the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when it becomes personal. As it says in Hebrews 11:6, he that comes to God must believe that he is. That's the fear of God. That he is, you recognize him, part of the fear of God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That is when that fear moves into faith, and it's a trust in God. If we begin to know our God by trusting in him, we should have increased fear of God. The fear not of being frightened, the fear of reverence or respect. When we say, you know, he is able, sometimes we say that. This last week I went to the hospital, to the children's ward, and I saw a black mother by the nursery, and I just happened to notice her in a special way, I don't know why. And then going down to, on the elevator, she happened to turn up, and so I thought, that's odd, because I really did seem to click with her. I wonder why. So I questioned her, why was she here? She said she had a 2-month-old baby who wasn't tolerating any milk, not even goat's milk. They were just trying everything. That baby wasn't growing. And she just looked so sad. Then we went out of the hospital, and if she wasn't sitting on the bench outside, so I decided the Lord must be me to minister to her in some way. I just said, lady, have you prayed? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, a great physician, can heal your baby? Yes, I prayed. I said,